Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Greg is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have the Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome into It's Always Game Day in Kansas City. Kayla Kinnearum cannot join us tonight, so it'll be me, Cody Tapp, and our producer, Nick Schwart, breaking down a Chiefs win, and maybe a surprising one at that. Not the win itself, but Nick, very simply put, the amount of points they put on the board against what was the number one scoring defense in the NFL. I remember coming into the game, them averaging 9 points per game and defense allowed. And then all of a sudden they let 41 points up to the Chiefs. That's the surprising part about this game. The fact that we're even sitting here saying that that's the final score. I think we both coming into this, Nick, I used the term rock fight. I thought this was going to be ugly between two defenses playing well. And instead they put up what, 72 combined points.
Yeah. You know, I like to judge quarterbacks based off what they do in the second half, right? When the game's on the line, you have to make certain plays. I like to judge play callers based off what they do in the first half. The Chiefs had 28 points at halftime, Cody.
Yeah.
28 points. So either Andy Reid had a game plan that he was working on for months for this game, or Todd Bowles just came out with the absolute worst plan. Because in the immediate aftermath of that one, it felt like A, the Chiefs had circled this game for a while, and B, Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy had a few tricks up their sleeve that they were saving specifically for this game.
Well, I think the Noah Gray play stands out as that, because the Bucs defense was completely spread out. That's the easiest QB sneak of all time. There was no one in the middle. And if there's no one in the middle of a QB sneak, it is going to be successful like 100% of the time. Like, there's almost no way that it can't be in that scenario. And I guess this is what's weird is I don't know how I'm supposed to feel about the Chiefs offense most of the time, because this is how I felt after the Cardinals game. Like, well, they're an unstoppable juggernaut, an immovable object. No one can stand in their path. They dropped 41 against the best defense in the NFL coming into this game, which is exactly how I felt. Not the best defense part, but coming out of the Cardinals game. And then there was those two games in the middle that I really can't explain. At least the Chargers was a Thursday night divisional game. That Colts game makes no sense. Why? Why was that your offense when you're capable of doing this to the Bucs offense? Because tonight was a show. The 28 first half points was they got so that, you know, obviously they were helped out by the immediate turnover, but it took them two plays to score. Then it felt like a drive was supposed to end and Mahomes did something miraculous to make it end. And then he's making these spinning move, drop passes to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and everyone was involved. This was the difference from the, I'll tell you this. This is the one difference from the Cardinals game is. In the Cardinals game, Sky Moore didn't matter, and he did in this game. Both running backs mattered, which was kind of huge. They got Noah Gray involved. Yes, but MVS had his longest catch of the year. Like, this was a little more, to me, spread out. Obviously, Kelce was the highlight of the night. He was the best player. They couldn't guard him, and that became a big problem for them. But this to me, Nick, felt a little more spread out. Like, a little more, here's everybody. Here's our whole complement of weapons, and now what are you going to do? Even more so than probably the Arizona game.
And I think that's what you have to do this year. Like, to moving forward, I don't care who you're playing. We know Kelce. We know Juju. Those are always going to be the first two options in this passing game. But if you don't think that you've got studs everywhere else in terms of receivers, your other tight ends, your running backs, you have to use everyone. you have to use everyone because you're never going to be able to put too many of your eggs in the MVS or Mecole Hardman or Sky Moore or Noah Gray, Jody Fortson, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You can never go all in on those guys having super prominent roles. Some are going to play more than others, but in terms of how you're distributing it, you've got to use everyone. That's the biggest advantage that I think you have. If we go back to the conversations we had in the offseason, we knew top heavy talent wasn't there like it's been in years past. But we thought we had more depth at that wide receiver room. Remains to be seen, but it's very clear they're trying to utilize that depth and use it as a strength.
It just kind of, yeah, it is. But I mean, it to me, this is, I don't care what anybody says. I don't care that there's this like this notion that like nobody ever saves plays. I'm not saying the Chiefs were saving plays, but I can tell you against the Colts, they ran a vanilla offense because they thought they could beat a bad team without trying. They were like, we're better, so we'll just win. And honestly, if Matthew Wright had been their kicker that night instead of Amendola, they probably do. And then the Chiefs are 4-0 and had just dropped 41 on the Bucs, and we have a very different conversation. But because they ran the boring version, here's what happens in these games is I'm reminded that when Andy's on his shit, he cannot be stopped. Like tonight was the, yeah, that's a perfectly executed game plan. Hell, the only times they didn't convert on third and fourth in the first half were drops. Clyde was wide open on fourth and one all by himself. Like, those are the only times they didn't convert.
All right, let me go through the Chiefs drive chart tonight. Starting at the beginning, touchdown, 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 turnover on downs when Clyde dropped the pass. Touchdown, field goal when MVS dropped the pass. Interception, punt, which was basically a running out the clock drive.
And by the way,
the exception of those two drops, this was nearly, and the interception, flawless. I mean, it's tough to play more perfect football than the Chiefs played versus the Bucs.
Well, honestly, the interception was a heat check. Mahomes was feeling greedy, and he was like, you know what I want? More. I'm going to get more. He saw that stat from, you know, whatever parody account that is correctly points out stuff while also making a mockery of it, that at no time in Tom Brady's entire career has his defense let up 42 points. That just doesn't happen. Tom Brady's defense doesn't let up that many points because he's played on consistently good defensive teams.
Wait, literally never?
Never. It's wild. It's a weird stat for him because if you go back through, somebody recently posted the whole list. I can't remember who it was now, but I mean, it's go through Tom Brady's entire career. He's been in the league a really long time. And it's like Tom Brady's defensive ranks by year. And it's just year after year of top 10. Year after year, year after year, over and over, over and over and over again. And when you're a top 10 defense, you don't really give up 42 points. And when you're a Bill Belichick defense, you really don't either. The weird part about this is that the only time the Tom Brady's teams let up 38, it's against Andy Reid. And again, Tom's not running the defense. It's not like that. But it's because Andy knows against Brady, he has to put it on. Because like tonight, right, they got 28 points and a half. He didn't, for once, Andy didn't slow down. You know why, Nick? Because Brady. He knows that if it's Brady, he has to pour it on. There is no grinding out a win or hoping for later, because that's how you'll lose the way the Ravens did, right? You can't just grind this one out. They'll beat you. And I feel like when we go back to that whole thought of this is how we felt after the Cardinals game, I feel significantly better after this one because the quality of the defense was significantly different. I know they didn't play a murderer's row in their first three games, but the Cowboys, that was with Dak Prescott, so that should have been a better game. And then we know that the Packers can score, so there's another team that got held to 14 by this Bucs offense. And the Chiefs ran it, not just scored on them, Nick, but ran it down their throat. That seems pretty significant.
So you mentioned the defense, which at times tonight, especially early, I said, wow, this is legit. I mean, the Bucs had their full complement of receivers. Yeah. Mike Evans certainly did. He seemed pretty intent on keeping them in that game. But that was the best offensive performance that the Bucs had put up all year long. So is that just, hey, the Tom Brady and the Bucs, they're going to score points? Or do you feel a little bit worse about this defense just seeing the night that the Bucs offense had?
You know what? It's weird because like the whole game felt like garbage time. It's really hard to judge a defense when you're always up two or three scores. Because you're just not going to play it the same way. And look, Jalen Watson got picked on a little bit. Like Tom Brady pointed him out, right? Kept throwing it at Mike Evans, and he lost some of those battles because Mike Evans is really good, and so what? Like, they were constantly down two or three scores. It's like
You may have already looked at this, but do you know the final rushing numbers for the Bucs?
I think they had three rushing yards.
Three rushing yards on six attempts. Can we do some quick math? What's the yards per carry there?
A half.
I believe that is a half. Yeah.
One half.
So Chiefs elite run defense. That's the headline, right?
The headline is they got so far down in that game. They only had to throw. And like Tom Brady can still throw it a little when the pressure mounts. And it's, as a reminder, still a defense without its best corner, maybe, in Trent McDuffie. At the very least, their second best corner, you would think. So it's, you know, like it sets up pretty well for Brady to attack. And they got other weapons. They're just going to pass the entire time.
Your disrespect for Tom Brady to say that he can still throw it a little bit. He threw it 52 times for 385 yards, three touchdowns, and no interceptions. That's Tom Brady throwing it a little bit.
I know, but it just felt like they were playing. Like, it almost felt like they were willing to concede it. Maybe I'm wrong, and maybe I'm overblowing it, but because I've got 3 weeks of evidence where the Chiefs' defense plays good, in the game in which they don't need them to play their best, they back off a little, doesn't seem all that scary. The question I keep circling back around to is whether or not this is who they are on offense all year. Because we have four games, and two of them, they are a juggernaut. They're scoring 45 points a game. They're unstoppable. And in the other two games, they're averaging, what, 20 points a game? 27 against the Chargers and 17 against... So I guess, you know, and then what, 17, right, last week and the Colts lost?
Yeah, we shouldn't do the math in our heads. We're going to expose ourselves.
Probably, but it's 20 points a game. So they score 40 points a game sometimes and 20 points a game the other times. That feels like a pretty significant swing. But I don't know. I mean, at least tonight it was against a real opponent who we knew was ready. Shaq Barrett was talking trash the whole time in the lead up to this. This wasn't like we made fun of Cliff Kingsbury because it didn't seem like he had a game plan. I don't think Todd Bowles rolled into this game thinking, oh, I got it all figured out. I'm not going to have to worry about them Chiefs. No. I mean, they're a team that had just lost an important game that are trying not to reel in the early part of the season when they don't look good offensively. I don't think they were sleepwalking into this one. That's why it seems like this is more real than week one to me. I do think that it's probably closer to this version than it is the Colts version. Maybe it's not 40 points every time, but the real version of the Chiefs offense is closer to this one.
Because they went about it in entirely different ways. What they did in week one against the Cardinals was what Patrick Mahomes has basically done his entire career. Pushing the ball down the field, taking shots deep. It was a horrible defensive game plan by Vance Joseph and the Cardinals. Tonight, and we're getting to this in a bit because Mahomes had a great post-game interview on the field, and he talked about the game plan. He said, I thought we had a great game plan. First thing he said was, I was getting the ball out quick. That's what we sort of thought this new-look Chiefs offense was going to look like because we saw them transition into that halfway through last season. But the first 3 weeks, it felt like it was still sort of this adjustment period, which maybe we didn't expect because at that point, you figured they were coming into the season with the understanding that that was how they were going to have to play offense. Tonight was, I don't know, I'm cherry picking because recency bias. I'm sure people can pull up some games in the second half of last year when they really turned it on. Tonight was about as sharp as they've looked in the past two seasons in terms of committing to the short passing games. We're going to take whatever you give us. They took a few shots downfield, right? They took them when they were there. A couple to Kelsey, obviously the big play to MVS. For the most part, this offense scored 41 points because they diced them up with short passing plays and they killed them on the ground. Two things that have never been a staple of the Patrick Mahomes era in Kansas City.
Well, they took advantage of, because the Bucs didn't blitz a lot, they took advantage of what you want. We're not going to put anyone in the box. I was like, cool, we'll run. We're not going to put anyone in the box.
They've tried that before.
I know.
They've tried that before, and they didn't have nearly the amount of success they had tonight.
I'll say this. We usually say that, like, and we're going to talk about Mahomes in a minute. We normally talk about, like, how he hears the noise and performs. The offensive line clearly heard what Shaq Barrett had to say because they were playing very motivated tonight. You, by the way, you mentioned that Tom Brady stat. I just saw this one come across, so it's worth mentioning. Tom Brady, Nick, is the first player in NFL history to complete 75% of his passes for 350 or more yards and no interceptions, yet lose a game by double digits.
Like, wow.
It's like, congrats. And it took like a kind of garbage time touchdown to make it not worse than just the regular double digits that it already was. They played the offensive line played their best game of the season. They played in line with what we thought we were getting in the offensive line. Again, that seems realistic to me because that's the offensive line I thought they were. Like, we've been critical of Orlando Brown Jr. He played really well tonight. We've been critical of how Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey have played together. They played really well tonight. It's, I don't know, it felt like a more of a complete offensive performance, like you had pointed out, than maybe even the one against the Cardinals, which seems shocking because that game felt like they could do no wrong on offense too. It just felt like this team was more prepared and they still couldn't stop it.